Dave Poulin joining us here, our TSN hockey analyst on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's a realistic defensive improvement for the Leafs over the next 2.5 weeks leading up to game one?
I'd say getting Zaitsev back.
Yeah?
Other than that, I don't see, from a system standpoint, it's just attention to detail is all it is, guys. You know that. They can do it for a certain amount of time, but they're not old enough and experienced enough. And just looking at that Tampa game last night, Tampa, when they scored that first goal and Stamkos celebrated like he'd never celebrated, like he'd never scored a goal before, that made the game more important to Tampa than it was to Toronto. And somehow, that's what a locker room can do. A locker room can decide that this game is more important to us than it is to you. And, you know, they've got some cagey veterans in that Tampa locker room, guys like Kunitz and even different guys that they've added, Girardi, McDonough, whatever, that have had pretty good runs with the Rangers. And they made it more important. And that's why they won the game. And from a systematic standpoint, you're not going to work on anything in the next 3 weeks that say, oh, we're drastically improved defensively.
Well, Pooley, if there's a Jerry's percentage, what kind of percentage would you put on them, like the percentage of them improving defensively going into the playoffs? Is it possible? Or you said they don't really pay attention to detail or they don't really hit. Like, can that ever change? Or that's what they are and go ahead and try to win 5-4 every playoff game?
Well, you know what? They did it last year against Washington.
Yeah.
And, that was the case. They went in and all of a sudden it was like, holy smokes. They were able to ramp it up just that one notch. And they were able to play better. And that was a great series, and they had a very good chance to win that series. But it's not like you're going to go in and say, okay, we've got this big secret we haven't told you about. This is why we're going to be so much better defensively, because here's what we're going to do. Zaitsev will settle things down for them. But then it's probably Carrick that comes out, because you have to think that he's going to leave Pulock in that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're playing, depending on who you're playing from a speed standpoint, Roman Pulock's a factor. He's a factor from a speed standpoint. Carrick can handle the speed better. But front of the net and penalty killing, he's going to want Pulock in there, particularly in the playoffs.
Well, that's why I think they set up better against Tampa. And I know people are freaking out because of what happened in the third. But I thought, again, they played really well the first two periods. And I think they're built similarly. The biggest difference being that Hedman is on Tampa and Toronto doesn't have that. But Toronto can score with every team in the league, including Tampa. And I think Anderson and Vasilevsky can cancel each other off. I think Toronto might have the edge in special teams, certainly in penalty killing.
And the first period and a half last night, Brian, they defended better, too. They were tight on defensive coverage. They didn't give anything, and then it was just gone. Like, it was gone.
Yeah, but I think the Leafs can do to Tampa what Tampa did to them last night, too. The Leafs could wake up in the third down 3-1 and be like,
absolutely,
actually, we're going to snipe three home here, and Tampa won't know what hit them. So I just think it's
but you got it to
sets
win.
Up better for
and
them.
And Pooley, you played on some real good teams. Don't you have to, like, you got to have a team that can 2-1 it a
well,
lot.
You absolutely do, but don't forget, we're talking about this team, and we're talking about how they're playing and everything. They don't have number 34 right now, and it's a credit we're talking about them even as positive light as we are.
Yeah.
Without Austin Matthews. You take the best player away from most teams, and they don't perform as well as the Leafs have performed. So you're hoping that when he comes back, he slots everybody a little differently. Guess what? He takes a little bit of offensive focus away from Victor Hedman, who's now worried about him when he's on the ice, instead of worried about Victor Hedman when he's on the ice. And, you get that guy back in the lineup and get everything settled back in. You don't know exactly how things are going to shake out, but you have a pretty good idea. And I think Andreas Johnsson may be a legitimate fourth line player for them in the playoffs. Because he forechecks, he's got great speed. If you had he and Kapanen on the wings, you've got, I don't know if that's good enough defensively, but you've got pretty good wheels and you can go and forecheck as a fourth line. And, I think when you put Matthews in, he's such a game changer that it changes the other way the other team has to play too.
Well, there's no denying that, and it sounds like he'll be back tomorrow night. So it's a matter
of... Yeah, when we see that, Brian.
Yeah, I guess they've done this for about a week now.
Okay. Yeah, he's looking great. He's not wearing a red jersey in practice anymore. Gee, he's skating great. he's not playing tonight. Well, you know, until we see him go out there, we'll know for sure then.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I would start him in Nashville. I might wait until you get home. It's Detroit on Saturday night. That seems a lot more comfortable coming off a month-long injury.
I have done 3 games in Nashville this year, 2 with Winnipeg and 1 with Montreal. That would be a place to start, let me tell you, because the ramp-up speed in that place right now is sky high. That team is just, they are not only hitting on all cylinders, but at home, the pace they play at is so much fun to watch. Maybe that is the place to start him. You'd find out if he's ready or not.
Right, throw him into the deep end right off the bat.
That's it.
Go swim in that. Sure. Yeah, you might be right. I mean, listen, if he's ready to play, like this is different than what we were talking about with Price a few minutes ago. Price is coming back, and he's not playing for anything. The Habs are done. There's no, I don't see a need for him to return. Matthews obviously is coming back because he's got to get ready for the playoffs. So, you know, maybe you do look at when he comes back, how he comes back, how selective you are with his minutes a little bit differently, because you have to believe Babcock and company, they have a plan here that they think is going to work best to make sure that he's prepared for game one.
They do, except when you're in a big game and it's a tight game and you're in Nashville and you got a chance to beat him and you look down and see 34 on the bench, you're putting him out there if you're Mike Babcock. You know, he's going to coach to win the next game, and that's what he's going to do. And maybe that's why you don't give yourself the temptation until you know he is 100%. And I'm a little bit different than you, Brian, on Carey Price. I think he should be playing. I don't think you can say to your fan base, yeah, he's 100% healthy, but we're going to sit him the last 10 games of the year. You know, and I know he obviously doesn't want to as a player. I feel differently about him going to the World Championships. I would have him playing for the Canadians. I would not have him going to the World Championships.
Well, a couple things on that. One, you don't have to tell the fans that he is 100%. He's not playing. You tell them that he's not. And,
well, they've already leaked that out because he's backing up the other night. And if you're backing up, you're 100%.
Well, that's when they made the mistake. I wouldn't have had him backing up. I just would have never brought him back. And I honestly...
Yeah, but that conversation with the player, Brian, you're talking to the player.
Yeah.
And you're saying, look, I know you're 100%, but we're just going to shelf you here for the last 10 games. And Price is a really competitive guy, and there's no way he wants to stand for that. He wants to come back and play well. He's embarrassed about this year as much as anybody is. And he wasn't great when he played. And granted, playing in front of that defense over the course of the year, the first half of the year, they were just not very good. And the second half of the year, they were really young. And I don't know which one was better. I'd rather have the young. At least they had the young kids in there, Juulsen and Mike Riley, and even Valiev played a couple of games, and Victor Mete. I'd rather have those guys in there than the group they started the year with, because they just weren't very good. And so you get a goalie who's overcompensating in every different direction. And, you know, and he wasn't very good, but how do you tell if a guy's good in front of that group? Holy smokes. They just weren't a good hockey team through the first part of the year.
Pooley, of the Canadian Tire Fires, which do you think could be a possible rebound season next year?
I could see Ottawa regaining, because their goaltending just hasn't been very good. And I could see them regaining, depending on what happens with the Carlson situation. I don't see it in Montreal, though. I really don't. They've got a couple of guys that missed a lot of time this year, and Carey Price and Shea Weber, but there's not a lot behind that. You know, and their first rounders between like 9,000 or 2009 and 2011 in that area, none of those guys are there. And then they've got Galchenyuk in 12, and then in 13 and 14, their first rounders were Michael McCarron and Nikita Sherbak. And so you've got one impact player out of 6 years of first rounders. And you just can't have that, because those should be the guys that are 23, 25, 27 years old who should be anchors for your team. And they went through, I believe it's a 3-year period of that wheelhouse in the draft, where out of 21 picks, Brendan Gallagher in the 5th round is their only player playing for the Montreal Canadiens. And you have to be getting a couple of guys out of every draft, if not 3. And when you're getting 1 out of 15 players, they just don't have the depth coming. And they've got a couple of college kids that they're really hoping pan out. The kid out of Notre Dame, actually, that they'll have to sign. They could lose him, and that's Jake Evans. And they've got a kid named Ryan Poehling at St. Cloud State, and they're number 1 in the country. So you won't see these kids this year. But Poehling, I think, is a legitimate 2-3 centerman for them. And the other night, they had no one dressed who was really a centerman. Not one.
That's awful.
Not one. I mean, Michael McCarron was their 4th-line centerman. You know, you had You had Drouin, who's not a centerman. You had Jacob Delarose, who's not a centerman. So you're lined up. And Claude Julien's system really relies on the centerman. If you think of Boston when they were at their best, Bergeron and Krejci were involved in every breakout they had. Every single breakout, D-to-D to centerman, D-to-D to centerman. Well, try that with no centerman. And, you know, and Jonathan Drouin, to me, is not a centerman. He's just not. They're trying to cram that in there. And you know, he's a winger who can drive the play from the wing like Mitch Marner's doing right now, but he's not a centerman.
Are you, like, cooking sushi or something, Pooley?
Yeah, can you smell it?
Really what is good. Going
pots
on in your house?
Pots and pans and something's...
Yeah, pots and pans are going... She's laughing. She is making sushi. Sorry, I'll tell
Hibachi,
her.
What is it called? Where the guy's chopping up the egg?
He's at Japanese Village right now.
I got to push back from the counter here. I'm going to lose my finger.
All right, brother.
Enjoy the cuisine, Pooley.
Okay,
thank you for doing this, buddy.
Fancy cuisine. Have a good night.
All right. Here's Dave Poulin on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Those are cool spots to go to, the Japanese kitchens where they get everything going in the middle and the flames going.
The onion volcano.
Yes.
Have you had that?
I'm not an onion fan.
Neither do I. I don't eat onions, but I enjoy the volcano.
You guys, you don't eat onions, you don't eat mayo.
But I like a Japanese village and Hibachi Grill. They're good. There's a Benihana's too, right? The Benihana's in the American side, Japanese village. I think there is a Japanese village in Toronto.
There's a couple spots downtown.
I once, when I was playing for the Florida Panthers, went to a Japanese village at about 5:30 the night before a game. And I was with a gentleman who was not playing the next day. And he... Those Japanese beer, I think it's Sapporo.
Well, and you got the Sakis coming out. You got a couple Sakis in you.
Sake is like tractor gas, dude.
Yeah. It's moonshine. It's Japanese moonshine.
He had about
it. Makes vodka look like just water. I actually quite like it.
It was
I'm
not
a fan
good.
Of a sake.
I like a hot sake.
It's got to be hot. I think that's the only option. Like, I guess you could get a chilled sake, but you need that thing toasty.
I do like a Japanese village, but I only get the beef, chicken, and rice.
Yeah, I keep it pretty basic.
Nothing else. I know exactly what you say to the guy. Just the beef, just the chicken, and just the rice, and don't give me anything else.
And well done.
Your little
no
onion
veggies,
volcano, you can throw that in the garbage, but it was fun to watch.
I like the veggies in that. I just pass that on when they're trying to put it on the plate. Like, move it along there, sir.
I know.
It's all good, though.
But the thing about those kitchens is you're dining with other people you don't know. You're all sharing the same table.
Right.
Right. Like if you go to a resort down in Mexico or something and you know how they have like an Italian joint, a Japanese joint, you're sitting there, you're all just, your faces are so burnt. It's the end of the day. You try to dress up a little bit, but you're in flip flops.
It is a nice night out. I'll enjoy that.